Okay. Today, good morning everybody, today we're going to try to cover Perek Yud Daled and Perek Tesvav. Short parking. Try to do both of them. The Maral here, in his continued discussion about the quality of Torah itself, he discusses the Gemara in Saita, the source which is what this parak is about is to be mavaris to explain the Gemara in Saita. It's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says that by a Saita who drinks from the waters of the Saita that are supposed to test her and see if she was unfaithful. So it says, "Im yesh lo zechus taylala." If she has a zchus, if she has a merit, so then it could perhaps help to suspend things a little bit. So the Gemara says, what's the zchus? What zchus are we talking about here that's going to be so compelling? What merit is going to have that's going to be so compelling to suspend it? Says the Gemara, Taira, the zchus of Torah, she's ena mitzvah va'osa. A woman's not commanded to study Taira. So she's not commanded to study Torah, so then her connection to Torah, necessarily, to Torah study, is not, and her rewards for it is not going to be as strong. So what would it be then? Mitzvah, right? Women have plenty of mitzvahs, but the Gemara's question is basically, well, mitzvahs are not nearly as potent in this regard as Torah is. So that's the problem which the Gemara has. If it's a mitzvah, if it's Torah, well, her connection to Torah isn't so strong that would entitle her to such great shmirah, such great protection as a result. And if it's mitzvah, well, mitzvah itself isn't so strong to be able to help her. So that's the issue. That's the problem. The Torah is not so much hers, and the mitzvah is not so strong. So Come close. So that's the Gemara's issue. And of course, while generally I said before the Gemara is a little bit famous, right? So a lot of people like to talk about it because of what the Gemara goes on to talk about is the woman's connection to Torah. The Gemara speaks about Nashim B'mai Kozachion, right? Women's connection to Torah, how they could have a connection to Torah even though they don't have the commandment of the mitzvah of Torah study per se, personally. When I say Torah, I mean Torah study, right, with the connection to Torah study, even though they don't have it personally, but they could still have it vicariously through their husbands, through their children that they help and encourage in this behavior. That's what the Gemara says at the end, and that is attacking the first side, which is, okay, the woman can have a connection to Torah. What the Maral is going to be focused on, however, here in this parak, is the other part of the Gemara, which is the contrast between Torah and mitzvah. Right? Torah, okay, that is super protection, but mitzvah is not as much protection. And the Gemara speaks about this with some level of detail, and that's what the Maral is going to be coming to explain, to identify the quality of Torah by contrasting the quality of Torah study to the quality of mitzvah observance. Says the Gemara, V'hatanya, but we learned, Ezu dorash Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yaisi, Kiner mitzvah v'tayra ayr. Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yaisi taught the following, the candle is the mitzvah, and the Torah is the light. Tola akosu v'sa mitzvah v'ner v'sa tayra v'ar. So you see how the verse associates the mitzvah with the candle and the Torah with the light. Laimer loch to tell you, Maner einay megin ela l'fisha af mitzvah kein. Just as a candle only protects for a time, so too the mitzvah is the same way. Whereas or light is megin la'aylam, or will always protect, so too Torah is megin la'aylam. A candle goes out. Light is light. Light is itself. So therefore, that's a difference between the two of them. V'omar, and it says, I'm meaning to quote the Gemara, Bisalecha tancha isach, right? When you travel, it will guide you. V'olam hazeh, in this world, parenthetically. Bishach b'cha tishmar alecha, when you lie down, it will guard you. That's misa, that's death. Vekitzaisa, when you awaken, hitasichecha, it will be your talk. Ze la'olam haba. That refers to the world to come. So it's with you all the time. Mushal. And the Gemara brings a comparison. L'mahalach b'derech b'yishayin layla v'yafela. A person who's traveling on the road at a dark, dark night. U'misyorim min ha'kaitim, u'min ha'barkanim, u'min ha'pechasim. He's worried about thorns and thistles. He's worried about falling into a pothole. U'min ha'listim, u'min chayara. He's also worried about being preyed upon, casted by bandits, wild animals. V'ene yedeh b'zeh derech u'mahalach. And he also doesn't really know exactly where his destination is. He doesn't know how to point to the right destination. So then, first positive development is he gets a flame, he gets a candle. Now he can shine the candle onto the ground, and he can make sure to avoid stepping into anything that's sharp, stepping into any holes in the ground. But he's still worried about the wild animals and about the bandits. Right, they can. They'll get him. So guys walking around with a flashlight, they can still lurk in the shadows and pounce upon him. Kivin sha'ala mina shachar, but when it goes from being a candle light to dawn to daybreak, and then there's this diffuse light, nitzol mechayro milistim. Now the wild animals and the bandits go back in for the night. Go back in for the day. They work at night, right? They go back in for the day because now this daylight is just too comprehensive. So now he doesn't have to worry about falling into potholes as long as he travels with his eyes open. He doesn't have to worry about thieves because they're not going to be out in broad daylight. But he still may not know exactly where he's headed. But when he reaches Parashas Drachim, where the road breaks off, Parashas Drachim we would often translate as an intersection. Right, but here the Parashas Drachim, you'll see as Maral learns, and that's clear in the Gemara, is the Parashas Drachim is where he sort of takes his exit. Okay, it's a fork in the road, but now he's going, okay, now I'm on my final, right, this is the exit that says, whatever it is, airport, Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever it is, right, that's where, now Nitzol Mikulam. Now, he's also saved from the confusion. Now he knows everything. Now he's not going to worry about thorns and thistles and potholes. He's not going to worry about bandits. And he's not going to worry also about not having direction. He knows exactly where he's going. So that's the first piece of the Gemara. Okay, so it had two components. It says the mitzvah is like a nair that it protects temporarily. And the Torah is like the ar that protects forever. And then we had this breakdown of the Gemara, the Nair protects you from these things, the R protects you from those things, and so on. So, what does this mean? Okay, there's more to the Gemara. Emir Tashem will look at the further part of the Gemara later. So, the Maral says, let's start like this and understand the difference between a mitzvah and Torah. A mitzvah always has an action, or it revolves around a physical object. You have a mitzvah to wear tzitzis on your four-cornered garment. You have a mitzvah not to eat something which isn't kosher. You have a mitzvah to make kiddush on Shabbos. You have a mitzvah to make a suda on Shabbos, whatever it is, to honor the Shabbos that way. You have a mitzvah to avoid doing work on Shabbos. Mitzvahs address activities and objects which exist within the physical world. That's what they are. They're the things which we are supposed to do as people. Malachim don't have mitzvahs to do. Oh, the Malachim felt that they had a real connection to Torah, to the conceptual Torah. But when you looked at what the Torah says, do this, do that, and do the other thing, the hard and fast application of Torah, it wasn't relevant to them. Because they don't exist within the physical world. Mitzvahs are oriented around physical items. And that's like the Nair. The candle, there's a candle, there's oil, there's a wick. The flame of the candle hangs on something specific, right? You see the flame of the candle. There it is. There's that flame. We're not talking about the light which emanates from it. We're talking about the flame itself. The flame itself is something which is physically connected. That's Ner Mitzvah. Torah is Ar. Torah is not physical connection. Torah is the concept, the idea, that you distill, that you get, that you understand, right? In general, in Svarim always we speak about three divisions. Machshava, Dibur, Maaseh. Machshava, Dibur, Maaseh. Maaseh is mitzvahs. Dibur, words. Okay, so what are words? So words is sort of like the middle ground between the two of them. Right? It's not quite physical. Right? We have a question is whether Akimas Svasayim have a Maaseh or not. The Gemara has a Shaila. When a person speaks, when they move their lips, is that considered like an action? For instance, if you only get Malkus, lashes for an Avera, you're over, you transgress, with a Maaseh, with an action, is talking considered to be an action? You know, that's an example. It's the middle ground between the body, right, the actions of the body, and the thoughts. That's exactly what you do with speech. That's exactly how you how you move from the one to the other, right? So dibur, and you have a mitzvah of Torah of dibur. You're supposed to say out the words of Torah, but ultimately, its real home, the real home of Torah, is in machshava, is in the understanding, is in the integration of Torah into your thinking, into your thoughts. That's something which is basically metaphysical. It's something which is not limited, it's not to a certain item. So it's like the ayur, it's the candle. Okay, it may emanate from, it's the light, excuse me. It may emanate from candles, from other things, right? But then, it sort of like has a life of its own, right? In there, you have those fluorescent tubes. You look at them, they're items, right? They have to be connected to the electricity, and then the stuff flows, you know, up and down, right? But the light which we're sitting here, right, we have here now, that's something for itself. You don't connect that to anything physical. That's near mitzvah v'taira art. That's the basic thing to understand, the basic introduction to the difference between mitzvah and taira. Ki near mitzvah v'taira art. So, excuse me, yeah?
Isn't the near also tachas manis because of the physical element? A near has a certain length of time to last.
Perfect. So that's exactly what the Maral goes on and says. So he says, so the first thing the Gemara says fits right into that. Ner is Megan Lefisha. Ner protects for a certain amount of time. Taira, not. Why? Because that's the big difference between something which is in the physical world and something which is not in the physical world. The first creation of the physical world is Zman, Bereshis. Baruch Yetzer Bereshis, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Bereshis, he made time. He made the limitations of time. And the everything which exists in the physical world is Tachas HaShemesh, it's under the sun, it's under the limitations of time. There's mortality, there's limitation to its existence. So, of course, a mitzvah, which is a physical action, is something which is subject to time. It does provide protection, but that protection will be Lefisha. Just like it's a temporal action, its effect is also to some degree temporal. But the Torah is non-physical. The Torah is of something else, of a different quality. And therefore, that different quality, the Ribono Shel Olam, the transcendent, is Nitzchius. It's eternal. It's beyond the simple physical. And therefore, Torah is associated with eternity. That's the first stage, so to speak, of the understanding of that Gemara. Next. Okay, everybody okay with that? Glatt, smooth. The next. Says the Gemara, the Ner, when the person's traveling through the darkness, the candle protects him from thorns and thistles and potholes. The daylight will protect him even from bandits. What's the difference between protection from thorn and thistles and potholes versus being protected from bandits? Right? So we could talk about just as a separate thing, which you'll see here. One can say it between the lines, right? But there's another Maral about near mitzvah of Torah. Maral speaks about it in a few different places, and the Maral in Hakdama, the Pirkei Avos, and in the Mishnah of Mitzvah Geireres Mitzvah, right? The Maral says a beautiful pshat in near mitzvah of Torah, where he says, and I've said this to you before, definitely. I remember pointing to the lights. Right, that the Nair is local. The Nair, there's a specific, right, in each of these things, there are four tubes, right? The R is indivisible. When you look at the lights, at the candles are specific separate items. The light that is produced is absolutely indivisible, right? You won't, again, maybe on some molecular level you'll be able to divide it, but the way we experience it, you don't say, okay, this light's coming from that tube, that light's coming from that tube, right? When light is created, it's just a general thing. So that's what the Maral says, is that Ner is local, Mitzvah is local, and Torah is general. Torah is general. So what the Maral says is over there that the idea of Mitzvah Geireres Mitzvah is because, and this is a beautiful thing which he doesn't discuss here, is because Mitzvah is part of Torah. So to the extent that Mitzvah is part of Torah, Mitzvah provides the light of Torah, so it's connected at the light point. On the candle point, it's its own thing, but it contributes to the light. It's all part of the same light that it generates of Torah, and therefore, it's connected to the next thing. It's not possible to disconnect portions of the Torah one from the other. It's not possible to see mitzvahs as being completely separate from each other, because the light they produce bleeds from one into the other. So he says that's the idea of mitzvah geveres mitzvah. In that sense, the Torah unifies all of its mitzvahs together. And if you do one, it'll lead you to do another. It'll lead you to do another. There's a wholeness to it.
What's the idea of havdalas, havdalah candles? Do you have them two or more candles that are interceding?
So what do you articulate?
Because,
what you mean?
Well, because they are then blended zev and zev, just like you're saying. So then, or it's not clear where it came from, this mitzvah, that clear, that mitzvah. All this clues comes from the totality of what you're about to accomplish in that week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, nice. So, simply, one could say, of course, here, that that's the difference between the Kaitzim and Barkanim, the Kaitzim and Barkanim, and the thief. The Kaitzim and Barkanim, you need to locally shine something on the ground. Daylight is more general, right? Torah is more general. However, the Maral says something further, two things further. He says, Kaitzim and Barkanim is... Don't call us, we'll call you. Right? To get damaged by going into thorns and thistles or a pothole, you've got to be the klutz. Right? You've got to run into it in order for it to do damage. Mm-hmm. It's not running after you. It's there. If you misstep, you can get hurt. However, when it comes to the thieves and the bandits or the wild animals, they're on the hunt. They are coming after. They're looking for these people. They're going for them. So these are two different things. They're missteps that a person can make. I got to know, I want to do the right thing. Right? Imagine that there isn't an issue, so to speak, of drives. You're not dealing here with a drive that, I'm driven to do this thing. I'm going about through my life, you know. I go into, let's give a nice, easy example, right? You walk into Giant, and you go over to the tuna fish, right? And you want to know, should I get this can of tuna fish, or should I get that can of tuna fish, right? You go over to the chicken thing, and maybe they have, maybe they have kosher chickens in the frozen chicken case, right? So do I get this kind of chicken, or do I get that kind of chicken? Are you particularly driven to get Purdue over Empire, or whatever, this thing over that? To you, a chicken is a chicken, especially when it's dead, right? It's the same thing, right? What's the chicken? What's going to be the big deal? It's all going to be fine, except, right? You can make a wrong move. You can get the wrong thing. You wouldn't say, "I'm drawn, I'm pulled," right? You've got to know what to do. You've got to know there are certain things which you will ingest that will be very good, and there's certain things that the person can ingest that will be metamte, that will be negative, that wouldn't be positive things, that are usur, that are forbidden to us. So the Torah tells us, or the light, right? The light says, okay, avoid this and go there. Mitzvah will tell you, you engage in a mitzvah, so you're doing the right thing instead of doing the wrong thing. But there's another realm of life. I don't know if you've noticed it, but it is where, so to speak, the Avera comes after you. It's going for you, for the jugular, right? It's drawing you. It's not just, I'm deciding what to do. Should I do this? Should I do that? You know, the sort of impassive objectivity. No. the person is pulled to do something. Okay, and again, you know, however sinister or dark or just mundane and not great, right? Instead of doing being all he can be, right? But there's such a thing called a meshicha, a draw, which analogous here is the thing which is trying, which is going after the person. That mitzvah doesn't do. That Torah does. Torah brings the light, that broader light, where now that thing can't even bother trying to approach. The perspective changer, the level of involvement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the level of Kedusha, right, as the Ramchal writes, right, in the Kedusha which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put within the world that the person is able to access, there's no place where it will be found in a more profound way than in Torah itself. And therefore that makes it that the thieves and the wild animals have to back off. To the extent that the person is going to be infused with the light of Torah, that's why we call Torah the Tavlin, right, the remedy for the Yetzer Hara. Because the light, the brightness of it, just says, that's garbage, that's ridiculous, why should we, you know, and its attraction is therefore to some degree going to be pushed back, going to fade. Now yes, we do have concepts of Kol HaGadol Mechaver Yitzhar Gadol Heimenu. We understand as well that the Yetzer can loom even larger in a certain sense, but we understand as well largely that, you know, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman is probably not struggling with exactly the same things that we're struggling with, right? In his shiur, he's not like thinking half the time through the shiur, could you pass me another munchkin? You know, it's like he's not thinking that. You know, he'll wait till his one meal a day at lunchtime with a potato. You know, it's like, you know, the Torah just makes these things like, yeah, you know, like, what is that? What is that? You know, like sometimes we ourselves will experience through Torah, through growing up, where we say, you know, it's like, what is that? You know, like it's after you, but then suddenly the light and, you know, it's all just, you lose the appetite for it. And I remember the day when I gave up sports, mostly. you know, when it was just the perfect timing where somebody said this to me. Right, I got up. I was in, you know, whatever. It was like, I don't know, it must have been like the end of high school, 11th grade. I got up Shabbos morning. And I did what I did usually at 11 o'clock, when it was not 11 o'clock, when I was in 11th grade, when I got up Shabbos morning. I went out, right, to pick up the paper. And I bumped into my brother-in-law, who was also going out to pick up the paper. So it was a problem, right? Shnayim echzim b'paper. You know, like, what are you going to do over here? But we had no problem. There was an easy yachloiku. He took the front page and I took the sports section, right? So there was like no machlekes. And he looked at me like he's like looking in, you know, face, you know, the Lebanon war. It was like, there was like, he says that stuff, like what difference does that make? This wasn't like a frummy thing. It wasn't like a frummy thing. My brother was not a frummy, you know. He's frum, Baruch Hashem, but he's not like that. He's not, you know. You know, he wouldn't say that about the munchkins. What difference does that make? You know, but just he said, you know, like what is it? I say, no, something. It's time I did. You know, maybe like not, you know, run out in the morning to find out what a bunch of overpaid children are doing. You know, on a playing field the night before. Like it really isn't important. You know, like that's R, that's light. Okay, it's not R Tyra. Maybe, but that's R, where it's sort of just like, you know, it's running after you. Like you're interested in it. You're driven at it, and then suddenly it becomes becomes nothing. That's R. That's the difference between mitzvah, where it's just telling, okay, I know I need to know what to do. Tell me to do this. Tell me not to do that. Am I allowed to do this on Shabbos? How do I prepare the salad on Shabbos? You know? Ner mitzvah. The candle will guide you. Do it this way. Don't do it that way. The Torah makes those things lurking to sort of capture you, capture your attentions, capture your direction. And it says, they can't do that anymore. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that real? Isn't that like such a real taich? Gorgeous. Yeah.
It is. But I have to...
Uh-oh. go ahead.
I have to wonder...
Put out the lights. Yeah.
Munchkin with a Jimmy.
Go Go ahead, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Much, obviously, while there's plenty of Agadah in Gemara, but so much of the Gemara, as you mentioned before, you know, it's why the angels don't have it, it requires the physical. So there's so much of the Gemara is halacha. I mean, whether Shmir Chusa, Shmir Ma'ula, we're talking about the practical day-to-day mitzvos. Are those portions of Torah that which create the light that enables us to see clearly that the shtus involved in the mashicha of our desires, or is it the musr, or is it the gloss on Torah? What is it about practical halachic Torah that allows us to, that serves as a tavlin to our titus?
Good question. And to some degree, as you'll recognize, you're restating some of what the Maharal was trying to address in some of the previous prakim, where the philosopher said, you know, if we want to talk about angels, we're going to talk about cosmology, we're going to talk about big things, that I understand. But the stuff about oxes goring cows, you know, that seems like pretty basic, pretty mundane stuff. So, you know, to that, the Maharal speaks and spoke and said, well, you know, let's say last week, you know, on different levels, last week he spoke about the idea that, you know, even Torah, to some degree, there's a lavush. There's a garment of Torah. There's a garment of Torah, and there's the inside of Torah. When you look at a person, right, so you see the physical aspects of him. You don't necessarily see the essence of the person, which is the spiritual. And when you look at the Torah, so you have to sometimes study the physical aspects that the Torah addresses. But the Torah has a soul. The Torah has a soul, which is its essence, which is its being. And by studying the outside, you do access the inside. Now, there are other levels where you say, you know, look, a person who's going to involve himself constantly in trying to make his mind God's mind, or make God's mind his mind more accurately, right? There's something about that seeking of true perspective that makes other things indeed fade and disappear beyond the transcend, beyond the Kedusha Shabbat, beyond everything else. Okay. So that's one thing that he says in there, and I think it's something to remember. That's a psavart near mitzvah v'tar, something to remember. There are things which we just have to know what to do, and then there's perspective changers. There's things which make other things which are quote unquote pursuing us just fade into the background. And then, right? Okay, he's going to talk about it. We still don't know which way we're going, but I just want to follow through one other distinction which he makes between the Kotzim and Barkanim and the Chayav Listim. Is between something which comes upon the person b'mikra, something which sort of chances to the person, and something which is much, much more essential to what's happening to the person. A thorn and a thistle is something which is like on the outside, right? You happen to bump into it, you did, you didn't, you could, you couldn't, you know, it's a sort of like an incidental thing. However, there are things, different kinds of damage. Interestingly, the comparison is to bandits, although Maharal seems to prefer other kinds of comparisons. Like, for instance, he speaks about chayli, illness, which is internal, systemic. Not, you know, where, you know, where somebody happened to not wash his hands, and, you know, or whatever it is, and, you know, pass something to you. But a chayli, which comes out internally from within the system of the person. Right, so it's much more of an issue that the person has to deal with as a part of his own being, as opposed to sort of something that just happened to collide with him, or that he happened to come in contact with. It's a different level. And he compares that, again, because these listim are going after the person, they're looking for the person, it's much, much more part of the system. Mitzvahs are things that we do, they're outside of ourselves. They are encounters. Just like negative things we can encounter, so mitzvahs we can encounter. Torah says, encounter these, encounter those. The mitzvah will protect us from negative encounters. But we also have those things which are internal, which are systemic, which are within ourselves. And that, a mitzvah, which is also just a chance encounter, doesn't do. There you need a remake of the system. Torah comes to remake the system. Torah comes to remake the person himself. Okay? It's a similar idea to what I said to you in the first part, but it's expressed very differently. Right? The first one says, look, there are things that you have to know what to do, right? And then there is, you're even being drawn towards those things. Right? Here, the way he's expressing it is, some things that you sort of like chance upon, and some things which are your very being. Torah is to remake your very being. Mitzvahs are to address what you're doing. Torah is to remake the person himself. So you understand, therefore, as well, that both of these things are an expression of that same thing, of lizman and not lizman. Right? A near mitzvah, a mitzvah by nature, is because of that chance encounter. It's because of that sort of like incidental event. Whereas Torah, it's you. It's you whether you are or whether you're not. You know, Rabbi Weinberg from the Bracha, Rabbi Meir used to say that we have mitzvahs, and then we have the sheish mitzvahs tmidiyas, right? The six constant mitzvahs, right? That the Chinuch enumerates that his brother Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Noach Weinberg, made famous, you know, in terms of having it as a constant focus for people, right? The love of Hashem, fear of Hashem, belief in the unity of Hashem, so on. So Rabbi Weinberg used to say such a beautiful, simple hagdara, such a beautiful, simple definition. He says, mitzvahs generally tell you what to do. The mitzvahs tmidiyas tell you what to be. It's not how you do love of Hashem. If there was such a thing called doing love of Hashem, you would do it when you would consciously do it, when you, right? But if you're a lover of Hashem, if you're a person who lives life in reverence of Hashem, of Yirat Shamayim, that's who you are. That's not what you do. That's the difference between lizman and constant. That's the difference between something which is momentary and something which is continuous, something which is eternal. That's near mitzvah Torah. Isn't that beautiful? It's mamish on the nose. And it's so important. I mean, you know, not in this forum, but we'll be talking about more over the Yom Ha'Yirayim, but that distinction is just so essential. You know, I'll just tell you a word. It is Yom Aleph Tzlichas. But just to remake our sometimes childish perspectives on things because of, you know, the projects which we came home with or which our children come home with from kindergarten. And we gotta, like we talked about last time, we gotta mature it, we gotta grow it up. You know, the Gemara says that a tzaddik is a person who has more zechuyos, more credits than debits, more mitzvahs than averis. A rasha is somebody who has more averis than mitzvahs. A beinoni, a middle person, is a person who has it balanced. Right? Right now, that would be quite a clunce. That would be quite a trick, you know? Like, you know, like that guy at the deli counter who manages to give you exactly 2 pounds .00 of turkey. You know, like you know, exactly the right amount of mitzvahs and averis, you know, without trying. You know, without trying. Like, how does that happen? And there's a Ravitzel Petterburger asks a more, especially when the Gemara says we view most of ourselves as Beinonim, as being in the middle. Like, you know, you'd say that would be like a freak of nature to be in the middle. Ravitzel Petterburger asks a famous kasha, famous question on the Rambam. The Gemara says Beinonim, the ones who are in the middle, so we give them, they get this period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? And the Gemara says if they merit, then they get ridden for life, if not, whatever. So the Rambam, when he brings the Gemara, he says, Beinonim, we ate to Yom Kippur. If they did Tshuva, good. If not, not. So Ravitzel Petterburger asks, why? Why do they have to do Tshuva? Why don't they just give $500 to Tzedakah? Or give $100 to Tzedakah? And it, tipped the scales. Did the job. Zacha. Right? Just tipped the scales for the mitzvahs. So there are many, this is a classic question. Some say, well, if an Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the person ignores the mitzvah to do tshuva, any mitzvah which he does is going to be outweighed by that avera. You know, some say like an answer like that. Rav Huttner said, come on, guys, let's look at this right. What does this mean? You know, weighing the mitzvahs, you know, kid, your child comes home with scales, you know, from pre-1A from the classroom, put another mitzvah, put another avera, you know, and so on and so forth. What it means is like this. It's you. It's the person. It's the person. You can be a person who your dra is really to mitzvahs. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. But your critical mass of motivation, of draw, of interest, is on the mitzvah side. You're not perfect. You could be a person, one could be a person, where their critical mass, their draw, is to the negative side, not to positive things. And we could be a person that our hearts in both places, you know, we love doing good things, and we also love indulging in other things. And that's a beinoni. A beinoni is where we are sort of in the middle. So you can't change that by writing a check. You can't change that by, you know, just having Chol Yisrael for a week. You know, you're supposed to do those things, right? You're supposed to strive. You're supposed to do those things. But you also have to remake yourself. And there's a word for remaking yourself. It's called tshuva. The difference between who you are and what you do. We've got to get to the point of seeing ourselves as who we are rather than simply what we do. Hmm?
That's great. That's great. Simply fantastic.
Thank you. I forgive you now for the thing about the light.
Just took the scale.
Yeah, one less thing to choose for, right?
Yeah, just kidding. Okay.
Isn't part of tshuva a serious introspection to say, this is no kidding around, no fool yourself, this is who I really am? So why would you look at yourself as being pulled in both directions? If you do it on as introspection, you know where you're holding. You're holding on this side, you're holding on that side. Get with the program. Why does the command then look at yourself as if you're both?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Could you say it again or differently?
Yeah. If the instruction is all of us, every one of us should look at ourselves as if we're a beinoni. That means we should look at ourselves as if we are pulled both in both directions. We both,
yeah.
Both we like doing a mitzvot, we also like that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if an honest part of teshuva is doing an honest introspection, this is who I really am. Looking at the map here, I'm really right here on the map, right there, so I could be. I got to be very honest with myself. So if you're honest with yourself, you know where you're holding. You know that you're either are pulled or you're not pulled. I really like doing mitzvahs. I can't just be honest. I do. So am I looking at myself as a 50-50?
I hear your question. I think that to a great degree, what the Gemara, when it speaks about beinoni, and it says a person should view themselves as if it's a beinoni, it's like the Rambam when he writes where he seems to be writing more in the arithmetic formula, where he writes that a person should always view the person, right? The person's judged by his rive, the community is judged by its majority, the world is judged by its majority. So he says, so it turns out that one person can do something, and that will tip the scales for him personally. It could tip the scales for the whole community, it could tip the scales for the whole world. So he says, live life that way. View it, imagine as if the whole world is mamish on the line. And what you're going to do is going to make the difference. When we say a person should view himself as a beinoni, what we're saying is, you know, if you view yourself as sort of like in one category or another, so you're comfortable, and you're not living on the edge, you're not like motivated, driven, to make it happen. When they say you should view yourself as a beinoni, right, they say, you know something? You know, your self-definition is still in the making, and it could make all the difference. It could make all the difference. Don't just... You know,
not so fixed.
Okay, yeah, not so fixed. It adds to the.
Not so static.
Yeah.
Is that the same word you were saying yesterday? Basically, a person shouldn't think, I don't matter.
That's that Rambam is the ultimate. That's what he's saying. That a person should not think that he doesn't matter. That was the Rambam. That was the Rambam to learn in the 2000 election. You know, that was like the 4 votes were deciding who the president of the United States was going to be. You know, it's like, you know, normally, right, when you go to vote on election day, I mean, especially in Maryland, right? Ah, you know, like what difference does it make? You know, but that's what they're saying. You have to understand that the world is a bunch of individuals. That's what it is, and one Yes, and what we talked about yesterday for sure. Okay, so the Maharal gets on to speak about the continuation of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, "Well, Dover Acher, another pshat." The Gemara says is Avera Mechaba Mitzvah, Vein Avera Mechaba Torah. An Avera can extinguish a mitzvah, but an Avera can't extinguish the Torah. And here he says again, I'm just going to go through it quickly, he says an Avera is a physical action, so it can extinguish the physical action, which is the mitzvah. The Torah is not a physical action. So therefore, the Avera will not, an Avera which a person does, is not going to cancel or extinguish the Torah which the person has. Rav Yosef, so in the bottom line, however, the Gemara has a question. What's the question? The question is that if you tell me that a sota is protected to some degree, and the sota doesn't have the schus of Torah, she just has the schus of mitzvah, and mitzvah we see from this brisa is only megin lefisha, it only is like sort of a little bit of a temporary protection. So then, you know, how does it work? So he says. So the Gemara brings, Rav Yosef says, well, a mitzvah is megin lefisha, it protects at the time when he's doing it. Bidna de asik be mitzvah, right? It will protect him. Torah maybe is megin, maybe protects even beyond. So he brings, he gets. I don't want to really go into, you know, every aspect of the details, which he does here. He doesn't really explicate it so completely, but it's all pretty much following the same rules, just affirming that a mitzvah does, right? This is not all to deride mitzvahs and say they don't have a positive effect, and that they don't even provide the person with a schus for some kind of hatzol and some kind of protection. It's still going to be there. The person will still be able to have that. But what the Gemara comes back to then is the last part of the light. Remember, we said the light itself, still the person has to reach the parashas drachim. He has to reach that fork in the road so that he can know where he's going. And here, the essence of the way the Maharal learns, it's divided up. There are different pshatim, different explanations in the Gemara about what exactly that Parashas Drachim is. But Parashas Drachim to the Maharal is that he sees the Ribbono Shel Olam opposite him. That even with the ayur that surrounds him, that he has clarity, relative clarity in terms of himself, in terms of his thinking, in terms of his values, but there still is this thing of seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam dead ahead. Seeing the Ribbono Shel Olam of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samed. We talked a couple of weeks ago, we learned the perek about you have the six orders of the Mishnah Shas, right? But nevertheless, fear of Hashem is its storehouse. In other words, Torah does a lot. Adjusts a person's way of thinking and so on and so forth. But there's no Torah without that direct sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can't worship the Torah in your life. You have to worship the Ribbono Shel Olam and see the Torah as Eisenachas Ruach LiYitzrei, as the way to please and to find the right measures that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So the Gemara says, well, when's the Parashas Drachim? Where do you know that the person is going to be directly going to be towards the Ribbono Shel Olam? So the Gemara says, the first pshat is Rav Chisda said that the Talmud Chacham v'yem HaMisa, Talmud Chacham on the day of death. That's the ultimate intersection. And that's the ultimate time where it's full steam ahead come to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why? What's the idea? Well, some would say, because as Rashi brings in Chumash, Hein Bikdoshev Layamin, it ain't over till it's over. Right? You never know. But it ain't over till it's over is because, indeed, as long as the person's around and alive and regular, so, yeah, he's Tam Chacham, he has clarity, but the conflicts are still there. He's still not dead set eyes on the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's still, you know, a lot, but other things. Everybody's got a pull. Yom HaMisa is the Parashas Drachim. Right? When everything else is peeled away, then you have that clarity. Rav Nachman says, don't wait that long. He says, what is it? It's Talmud Chacham v'yiras chet. Fear of sin. Meaning that together with his Chachma, together with all of those things, he's got to have this direct connection to Hashem. The direct connection in life that we have to Hashem is what we call Yiras Chet or Yiras Shamayim. Right? What we've talked about there, where we talked about that thing of Yiras Hashem Hi Yitzarai. That feeling of complete connection to Hashem, that's how all of Torah is going to melt into. But when there's the direct, real, tangible Yiras Shamayim, build the whole thing around it. Finally, the third one says, and this speaks a little bit to something raised before, he says, no, the masik shmaitza aliba de hilchasa. You know what it is? It's when you learn to know what to do. To learn to know what you do, what to do. Parashas Drachim is direction. Lilmaid almenas lasais, to learn in order to do, which again doesn't just mean, you know, oh, I was planning to learn and then ignore everything which I'm learning. No, I'm going to learn, I'm going to learn to do. That's not what it means, because Ravani Yannick said it together. But that the person's learning and they want to arrive at what I'm supposed to do, because they see that as the pathway to the Olam Haba. And this is the Maral's thing of Kol HaShayna Halochais B'chol Yoyim. We say every Shabbos, at least, Kol HaShayna Halochais B'chol Yoyim Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. Person who is Halochais every day is a surer place in the world to come. Halochas. Because it's halichos olam loy. Right? The walkings, the travelings of the world are his. Al tikre halichos ela halochas. The halacha is direction, is clear, is telling you in that sense. So there's an aspect of it where, okay, you're just keeping you away from the thorns and the thistles and the potholes. But there's another aspect where it is that as a result of this, the person is going to be dead set, clear in his vision on where he's going to be meeting and attaching himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the bringing Torah and a general thing to its to its hard and fast conclusion. Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven, and desire to know exactly what to do everything like really, really precisely, really right. Rabbeinu Yonah writes on that Mishnah of Lumad Amanas Lasseis in Pirkei Avos. He says that Lumad Amanas Lasseis, again, doesn't just mean simply the person is planning to do what he learns, but the person is willing to learn and spend time, hours, days, to clarify so that he knows, so that he'll be able to do this thing exactly correctly. He's so concerned with making sure that he walks in the way that is defined by Hashem, he'll spend all time to be able to figure that out. Questions? Yeah?
At the risk of getting too flowery, I was just wondering, this idea of precious dropping, whether there's a symbolism or more than that, when the Shvatim were in Midbar, the idea that Klal Yisrael would have to follow Kodesh Baruch Hu through this symbolism of this existence by Nani Akava, and obviously there were actions in the camp, and there's learning Torah, and there's Torah and mitzvahs, but ultimately this idea of following the clouds or the pillar of fire, ultimately that's the precious.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's a very good visual of, that's very good. That's very nice.
I'm kind of confused. The example of the Sota, and I may be mistaken, but this is where she has to drink the thing.
Drink the water. Right. Sota pop.
But
they say. Yeah.
But what is she being protected from? She's being protected from the judgment, whether or not was innocent or guilty. It's not like she's.
Yeah.
You know,
so that's a subject matter over there. There seems to be still some Zechus, that it won't happen, so immediately, that she's Mitznavna Vailechas, that she progressively deteriorates rather than, there's some Zechus Taylor that can help her prolong it, that it doesn't happen instantaneously. This is, by the way, it's a very interesting Rambam, because some people quote this Rambam when they speak about end of life healthcare decisions. right? Because in the world, you would be made to believe that the quicker the better. Right? And here, what the Gemara describes, and the Rambam describes it more, the Snavda Vailecha says she's not feeling so great, but she's not dead yet. And the Schus gives her the chance not to be dead yet. So it's not, the Gemara speaks also about cases where a person wishes to die, but it's not a simple thing. So it's just, she will die because of her Avera, but there is something that can suspend the sentence a little bit. Yeah.
And you didn't focus on it so much, but you mentioned that an Avera will extinguish a mitzvah, but not a but not Torah, because the physical versus the spiritual and the timing. Would it also be that a Makshava, which is our link to Torah, would extinguish Torah?
It's a good question. The Gemara doesn't speak about any specific thing extinguishing Torah, but there is such a notion which we find in the Gemara elsewhere, where the Gemara is considering significant machsheves avodah zarah, a thought of idolatry. That's the only area where we say matzvoses mei Yisrael belibam, that the Jewish people are punished for intentions. That seems to be to some degree the flip. The Gemara doesn't expand on it, and Gemara doesn't discuss it here. Okay, I thought we would maybe do Perek Yudal and Perek Tesvav. We didn't. Okay, that was a pleasure. Everybody should be well. See you.